Well, as we continue here on today's program, we are, of course, getting into the heart of spring planting season across the country. As the calendar flips to April, we really start to ramp things up in the field across the country. Let's have an agronomic conversation and think about some different considerations, some tips, things that folks need to keep in mind here as they get busy with spring planting season in 2026. Joining us now, retail sales agronomist for Brevant Seeds, Zach Thompson is with us. Zach, thanks for the time here on the show today. Hope all is well.
Yes, sir. I really appreciate you having me on. This is a very important conversation, and I hope we can at least help a few farmers when they're making these considerations on when they should plant.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just for starters, if you wouldn't mind, can you tell folks what part of the Midwest you cover for your agronomic territory? And if you have any early updates to share, by all means, go ahead. But I know we're really just starting to get into the heart of the planting season. But what part of the country do you cover, Zach?
Yeah, I cover southeast Missouri. So that'd be south of Kansas City, kind of running along that 49 corridor down towards Joplin and that Oklahoma border. And then I cover that all the way west, going into central and southern Kansas, out just a little bit past West Wichita.
I would have to think weather's been a little better in your neck of the woods here as we've rolled out of March and into April. Any early field work happening in your area?
Oh, absolutely. We've had a bit of a yo-yo for spring. We've gone anywhere from jumping up into the 90s all the way down into a couple inches of snow within a pretty tight window. We've had guys that have been planting since that first week of March. I've got a few customers that are already done planting corn and making considerations on when they should start on beans. And I've got parts of my territory where they have not put anything in the ground yet. So pretty broad band, a lot of variability in the weather. It's been a very interesting spring already.
Well, thinking about that variability in the weather and this conversation in general, not just your territory, but I think across the entire Midwest, let's talk about some of these different things we need to consider. And immediately, I think this ties in with this first consideration that I see, and that's planting into suitable soils, making sure that soil temp is right, et cetera, et cetera. Talk about why that in itself is important, Zach.
Well, yeah, I mean, farming in general, you're kind of working from the starting line to the finish line, and every hurdle that you stumble across slows down your time getting across the finish line, which correlates to hitting that maximum yield. So there's not a lot that we can control throughout the growing season. Mother Nature dictates a lot of that. But one thing that we can control is when we choose to plant. So you really have two major things to consider, and that is, you know, what is your soil temperature? And then what is the condition of that soil? So for soil temperatures, you want to be at least 50 degrees. And you want to be looking ahead at least 48 hours on what is the weather going to look like? Are we going to be able to maintain to increase that 50 degree temperature? So if you have a cold rain coming in the next 48 hours, that's going to significantly drop that soil temperature. If you've got a lot of ground cover, it's going to take longer for that soil to warm up from solar radiation. And the main, and as well as the soil composition, if it's too wet or too dry, you can have difficulties with closing those furrows as you plant, as well as getting things like dried in furrows that are open, which leads to tomahawk roots and other problems down the line. From a temperature standpoint, if you're getting a cold rain within 48 hours, that can significantly lower your soil temperature and put those little baby seedlings at a lot of risk for damage. Cells are much less malleable at lower temperatures. So the lower those temperature goes, as they begin to swell with water, the more likely it is that you're going to start tearing up cell walls, which opens it up to diseases and other things getting inside the plant, as well as it just basically tearing itself apart and making it non-viable.
We're having a conversation today with retail sales agronomist for Brevant Seeds, Zach Thompson, based in Missouri. Let's talk about this. I think about that minute the seed goes into the ground, getting started and setting your crop up for success right away is so important. And I think a lot of times as well, that means using everything in your toolbox to make sure that crop gets started on the right foot and continues on the right foot throughout the growing season, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you're sitting around waiting for, your plant, your ground to be suitable, something that you can spend time doing is, getting your planter set up and calibrated properly. At Brevant, we have an app that you can actually put in your planter and the batch number of that seed, and it will give you an exact calibration to help you get singulation. So you can go ahead and get your planter set up and ready to go and ready to singulate that particular lot number if you're going to go and plant a few hundred acres to make sure that you're getting your spacing right, as well as making sure that you've got your down pressure set correctly, your closing wheels are all set up and ready to go. There's a lot you can do to prepare to make sure that when it comes time to plant, you're ready to get going and to do it right the first time.
What about the prospect of starting clean and staying clean? I think that's important too from an agronomic standpoint, controlling weeds and pest pressures and so much more early on. Talk about that piece of the puzzle here as well, Zach.
100%. The easiest weeds to control are the weeds that haven't emerged yet. Most of your pre-emerge herbicides are going to be much more effective at dealing with a seedling than they are going to be coming in and trying to fix it post. A lot of that stuff is very quick growing. Disease or weeds are nature's anti-erosion, so they are designed to grow very quickly, and most weeds are going to outpace your crop and compete for sunlight, water, all of that. So the sooner that you can get those controlled and out of the way, the better off you're going to be and the better conditions your seeds are going to have as a chance of getting up and shading out that ground.
I think about this too. I know 2025 was a tough year for Southern Rust, for instance, or on the soybean side, SDS, SCN. I always think about Palmer Amaranth and different pressures that are out there. There's so many things that could affect us in our fields. Can we learn from last year, the year before that, et cetera, to help us make some at least early game plans here as we get into this growing season ahead?
Absolutely. You can always learn from the past. Granted, the pressures that you faced last year are not always going to be the same, but especially in diseases, not so much Southern Rust, but other diseases, they can overwinter in residue and in the soil. So if you have a history of that, you should be making your seed recommendations, seed treatment recommendations based around the field history. Southern Rust is tricky because it does not overwinter where we are, and it blows up from the south, and weather patterns dictate when and how severely we get that. But making seed selections for hybrids that have natural resistance to that is often the best way to protect yourself. So if you're in a region like I am, where we very frequently get Southern Rust move in early to late, mid to late season, it's always smart to go ahead and select hybrids that do have a strong resistance to that. Same way with soybeans, with SDS and other things. That really starts with the genetics of the seed, and everything else that we add on top of that, from fungicides to seed treatments, build on that protection.
This has been a great conversation, Zach. Anything final you would mention or reiterate to growers as we get into the heart of spring planting season here for 2026?
I would just say again, make sure that your seed or your ground temperatures are moving in a positive direction. You want them to be above 50 degrees, and the higher they can go, the better off you are. And I would say after you first get out planting, Take a minute, go back after you've done a couple passes, make sure that your rows are closing, you're getting good seed to soil contact, and make sure that seed is getting planted. And for your corn, you want it to be about 1 3/4 to 2 inches. If it's too shallow, you're setting yourself up for rootless corn syndrome later. And it's a lot easier to get out and check that right away than it is to come after you planted half the field. There's not a lot you can really do at that point. So it's always easier to make those corrections earlier rather than later.
Well, and of course, if you have questions, make sure you talk to your local agronomist. You can also find more details at brevant.com/retail. With that, we appreciate the time. Zach Thompson, retail sales agronomist for Brevant Seeds. Thanks for joining us on the show. We appreciate it very much.
Thank you very much.